And turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Encourage you all to continue to study in this book, read ahead, continue to memorize as we're going through this. You'll be blessed. I sure enjoyed this study, and looking forward to continuing, as long as the Lord permits here, in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, and I want us to begin at verse 5. Begin at verse 5, I'll read to the end of the chapter, speaking of the priesthood of Christ, and again how that a priest must be one appointed by God. And that is the message there that begins the chapter. Every high priest taken from among men is appointed or ordained for men, and things pertaining to God is one who is ordained by God. And verse 5 speaks of Christ and says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Let's pray. Father, bless again, we ask this time, and that our hearts would be open to the truth of your word, Lord, that we would not be dull of hearing, but that we would be obedient hearers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're considering Jesus here in his office of high priest. And of course, that thought was introduced to us back in chapter 3, verse 1, where the apostle says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And then he goes on in that chapter, chapter 3, to talk about Jesus Christ as the apostle, as God's messenger, comparing him to Moses. And we see that Jesus is better than Moses. And then he goes on in chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, and picks up on this topic of Jesus Christ as our great high priest. So Jesus in his priestly office, beginning at chapter 4 and verse 14, and then continuing on. And we noted in the first part of chapter 5, as we looked at the description of a high priest, we noticed that a high priest is appointed by God. And no man can come before God. No man can be accepted by God without a priest. And Jesus is that priest. We see the description there of the earthly priest in the in the beginning of chapter 5. But as we go down into verse 5 of chapter 5 and through verse 10, we see three principles here that encourage us to come boldly before the throne of grace because of who our high priest is and how that he is eminently qualified to be our high priest. Remember, a priest had to be appointed by God. His offering had to be designated by God, to be accepted by God. And here, in verses 5 through 10, we find that Christ did not choose to be a high priest. He did not take that upon him, but he was chosen by God. God ordained Jesus Christ to be our high priest. Not only did he not glorify himself, but we also see in verse 8 that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And through suffering, he was made complete. He was made perfect. And that suffering, you know, there were many aspects of it. One being, of course, taking upon himself God's wrath, but also dealing with us. We have a high priest which cannot be touched. He says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And back in chapter 2, wherefore, in verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. There in verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And so we have a high priest who has been appointed by God, designated by God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was completed, made complete, perfected as our high priest through suffering. And because of that, he was made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, in verse 10 of chapter 5, the apostle says, called of God, speaking of Christ, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And right here, there is introduced to our attention this Melchizedek, this Old Testament figure, this Old Testament priest, of whom we know not very much, who is introduced in the Old Testament back in Genesis chapter 14. In Genesis chapter 14, we see Abraham meeting up with Melchizedek. And here the apostle says in verse 11, in Hebrews 5:11, he says, of whom we have many things to say. Of whom? Who is he referring to? He is referring to the one he just mentioned, this Melchizedek. Melchizedek. And he has many things to say about Melchizedek, and he wants to say them, but there's a problem. There's this interruption that comes here right at this point in the book of Hebrews. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered or difficult to explain because or seeing ye are dull of hearing. And from this point, there is a rebuke and a challenge given. And he does not come back to the topic of Melchizedek until the end of chapter 6, the very last verse of chapter 6, verse 20, where he speaks of Jesus, again, made and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then he goes into his discourse on Melchizedek in chapter 7. But there's this accusation. This is an accusatory verse here, and it accuses them of being dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. What does it mean to be dull of hearing? Well, what do we know about this condition? Well, obviously, the writer is speaking about a spiritual condition. He is not talking about physical deafness or an inability to actually hear sounds. He's talking about a spiritual condition. What does it mean to be slow of hearing? How many of you have children you think are slow of hearing sometimes? Yes. Okay. Well, what does he mean by slow of hearing? The definition there means, another word, another time it's used in Hebrew, is only used twice in the Bible, this particular one. And it is used in the very next chapter in verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Which word in that verse do you think is the same word as dull? Slothful. Slothful. And that's exactly what it means. So here, he says, you are dull of hearing. You are slow to understand, with the implication there of laziness. Laziness. Slothful. Sluggish. The opposite would be as James describes in chapter 1 and verse 19, where he says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear, eager to hear, not a lazy hearer. But these folks were dull, dull of hearing. And this condition, it's a spiritual condition, and it had an effect. Obviously, he makes mention of this in verse 11. He goes, I would like to teach you some things about Melchizedek. I have a lot to say, but I can't. You can't understand it because you are dull of hearing. And so this condition limited what the apostle had to say. And so he stops, and we have this big parenthesis, so to speak, this admonition, a rebuke, and an exhortation to these people about spiritual dullness or dullness of hearing. Now, I want you to note here, when it says, ye are dull of hearing, in the Greek there, it says, ye have become. Ye have become dull of hearing. Now, that's important that we note that. They had become dull of hearing. And, of course, that means what? Logic. Think with me. You have become dull of hearing, which means they had not always been dull of hearing. Are we clear on that? You have become this condition. You have become dull of hearing. You weren't always. They had not always been in this condition. And here they were rebuked, encouraged not to be slothful. Now, there is one very popular commentator who believes that this particular section of the passage is dealing with unbelievers. I could not more strongly disagree. He is not talking to unbelievers. These were believers. He is still speaking to the same people. He is still addressing the same people that he was addressing at the end of chapter 4 in verse 16, where he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is not a message given to unbelievers. He is speaking to believers. And the apostle wanted, or his desire was, that he might instruct them in the meat of the word. He had many things to say about Melchizedek, but they could not take it in right now. He says, ye are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He wanted to instruct them in more difficult doctrine concerning Melchizedek. He would not have done this. He would not have made this statement to unbelievers. We don't go out to unbelievers. Go to your next door neighbor who may, you know, be a Buddhist or maybe a Mormon, but he's a lost person. You say, can I sit down and talk with you about Melchizedek? Is that what they need to hear? No, they need the milk of the word. They need the gospel. And so here, the apostle is not speaking to unbelievers. These people had become dull of hearing. They had not always been in this condition. Unbelievers are not referred to as dull of hearing. They're referred to as dead. Obviously, a dead person can't hear either. But these people were dull of hearing. It wasn't that they couldn't hear. It's kind of like a sink that gets clogged or stopped up. You know, you fill the sink with water and you let it sit there, and eventually it'll get through and go down the pipe, but there's something blocking it. But unbelievers are referred to as dead and having ears that cannot hear. And here, Another reason that I believe these were believers is that the apostle is encouraging them to go on to maturity. The apostle, we do not see that encouragement given to unbelievers. Hey, you need to go on to maturity. No, you need to be born again. You need to be regenerate. You need to receive the gospel. But here the apostle is encouraging them to go on to maturity. And then, of course, as this continues, the apostle will address unbelievers, those who fall away from the gospel, in chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. But he returns in verse 9. In verse 9 of chapter 6, he says, "But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." And then, finally, one final reason here for believing that these were indeed believers. If we look at verse 10. In verse 10, we see that the people he is addressing were working and laboring in their love for the Lord. He says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." That is not a description of unbelievers. These were people that loved the Lord. But they had become dull of hearing. Now, I want you to think very carefully, because the admonition given here to these people is an admonition for us even today. Is it possible for us to become dull of hearing? What does it mean to be dull of hearing? How do we get to be dull of hearing? What's the danger of being dull of hearing, and what's the cure? Am I dull of hearing? Everyone needs to ask themselves that. Am I dull of hearing? What does it mean? Well, how did these people get this way? He says, "We have many things to say, but they're difficult to explain because you are dull of hearing." Becoming dull of hearing is a condition of those who have heard over and over, who have heard repeatedly. Now, so who is in danger of becoming dull of hearing? I would say that would be every one of us here today. We have heard the Word of God over and over. It is not possible for a person who has never heard or has heard for the first time the gospel, it is not possible for them to be dull of hearing. Not according to what this definition is talking about. You ever witness to someone who's never heard the gospel and you tell and they listen and they listen eagerly and they're like, wow. And they may not pray right there to receive Christ, but their interest is piqued. You know, they're, wow, I've never heard that before. And you tell them the gospel, well, that's not a person that's dull of hearing. They're listening. But a person can become dull of hearing. This is a person who has heard truth over and over and failed to take action. Failed to take action. These are those who have heard over and over, and because they do not take heed to act on the truth, they fail to be moved by the truth. Note the warnings that the apostle has already given in this book. Might I remind you of what he said back in chapter 2? Right at the very first part of chapter 2, the first three verses, what does the apostle say? He says, "Therefore we ought to do what? To give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." That right there would be a description of someone who was dull of hearing. Hearing something, but not giving attention to it, and forgetting about it, or letting it slip, not acting upon it. And so the warning there was given. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He goes on, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward," listen to verse 3, "how shall we escape if we what? If we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him." There again, talking about being dull of hearing. You're not going to escape if you do not act upon what you have heard. He says, you cannot escape if you neglect so great salvation, which you have heard preached to you over and over. You've seen it confirmed with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. In chapter 3, in verse 1, what does the apostle say? He says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Consider. And then later on in the chapter, in verses 7 and 8, he warns them. He says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And then he refers them back to the story of Old Testament Israel, who they became dull of hearing, and it led to what? Hardness of heart. Their hearts became hard. It says the same thing in verses 12 and 13. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But do what? Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Another warning coming in chapter 10 and verse 25, where he says to them, Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Remember the theme here. This theme in Hebrews, encouraging people to be faithful to the faith, to continue on, not to fall by the wayside, not to become dull of hearing, not to have their hearts hardened, but to give attention to the things of God, to give attention to his word. So how did these people get this way? Well, they had heard the truth over and over. And how do we know that? Well, he goes on in verse 12 of chapter 5 and says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. Right there, he says, you have known the truth long enough that you should be at the point of instructing others. But what has happened? You're dull of hearing, and you have need that one teach you again the very basics of the faith, the very basic doctrines, the milk of the word. They were warned. These people became dull of hearing. Note the result of this condition. The result of this condition. Well, obviously, it says there in verse 11, I'd like to tell you some more things. I have many things to tell you about Melchizedek, but I can't. I can't at this time. You're dull of hearing. So they could not readily understand what the apostle wanted to tell them. We notice this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning in the Bible study hour. What did Paul say there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto, or up until this point, ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Dullness of hearing makes us difficult to instruct. We become difficult to instruct. And this condition not only had made them difficult to instruct, but it also had limited their ability to serve. It had limited their ability to serve. He says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, you should be discipling other people. By this time, you have heard the truth enough that you should be at the point where you can disciple, where you should be teachers of others. But because of their dullness, they needed to be taught the basics. And what a statement. He goes, but you have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. There's actually a regression. If we become dull in hearing, if we do not put into practice that which we hear, if we do not act upon truth, what happens? It's not that we just stay the same. We actually are regressing. These people, for the time, they should have been teachers, but they had regressed to the point where they needed to hear just the very basic, the simplest of doctrines, the milk of the word. They had not grown spiritually. They were like infants needing milk, big babies. They needed milk. You become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. They couldn't handle strong meat. They couldn't handle doctrine. And here the apostles wanting to go on and give them doctrine. Now, what is milk? I think we have a good description of milk coming up in chapter 6. In the beginning of chapter 6, the apostle says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." What is the foundation? What are the basics? What are these basic principles? The milk of the word. He gives this list here, and this describes what he's talking about when it comes to the milk of the word. Foundation of repentance from dead works. Faith toward God. He speaks here of the doctrine of baptisms. Now, don't be dismayed when you hear baptisms. Oh, my goodness, how many baptisms are there? Well, you know, we could look at that as John's baptism. Remember John's baptism? Apollos. Believer's baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about these more as we get into chapter 6. The doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands. Resurrection of the dead. And eternal judgment. He goes, we need to leave those. We need to leave these basic doctrines and go on. And he says, and we will do this if God permits. So I want you to note here that he gives a list, and it's quite interesting. Here's a list of the basic doctrines. Here's the milk of which he's speaking about, that these people had regressed back to needing just the milk. They could not handle strong meat or doctrine. They were not, and why, he says, your diet indicates your maturity. Note what he says in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Everyone who uses milk or partakes only of milk. He's not denigrating the milk of the word, which is something we should all desire. And like I mentioned in the Bible study hour, I like milk with my meat, certainly. And the milk of the word is always there for us. But that should not just be our steady diet. Once we have believed, we should go on and grow into maturity, going on to perfection. Of course, the standard which we will not meet in this life, but Jesus Christ is our example. And Paul told believers, he says, you follow me as I am following Christ. Paul says, I've not attained yet, but I am striving to attain. I'm striving to grow in my maturity to be like Christ. And here, your diet indicates your maturity. Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. How skilled are you in the word of righteousness? How familiar are you with the word of God? And I'm not talking about just knowing the facts. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 2, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may what? That ye may grow thereby. That ye may grow thereby. It's not Peter's intention there to tell people, you need a steady diet of milk. And obviously, there is the analogy of a newborn baby. Newborn baby just doesn't stay on milk all his life. No, he grows. He goes on to more solid foods. But because of their immaturity in the word, they were not trained and they had not exercised themselves to discern both good and evil. Note verse 14. He says, but strong meat or solid food, and again, this milk and the infant analogy here, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, them that are mature, even those who by reason of use or by reason of practice, action, obedience to the word, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised or trained to discern both good and evil. Now, one of the marks of maturity here that he mentions, exercised to discern both good and evil. A mature Christian is a discerning Christian. A Christian who can discern between that which is good and that which is not, that which is evil. Are you a discerning Christian? How discerning are you? Listen, the Bible says that the scriptures are those that make us wise, wise unto salvation. But also, everything that pertains to life and godliness is given to us, as Peter says, through the knowledge of Christ in his word. How discerning are you? Can you discern between good and evil in all areas of your life? Can you discern between good music and evil music? Can you discern between good literature and evil literature? Can you discern between good morals and bad morals? Can you discern between truth and false doctrine? Now, this is an aspect of maturity. And these people here are being rebuked because for the time that they had been saved, they should be at the point of teaching and discipling others. But no, they had regressed and needed the simple basic doctrines. So there's the result of this condition. But it's a dangerous spiritual condition. It's one that you do not want to stay in. Do not stay at this point of being dull of hearing. What's the danger? Well, obviously he mentioned that we become difficult to instruct. You ever teach someone that just couldn't get it? One of just not paying attention? You know, I'm sure it's frustrating for a doctor when the doctor has a patient that comes to him and he explains to him what's wrong and says, here's the medicine, you need to do this, or you need to go, you know, visit this specialist. And, you know, 3 weeks later, a patient comes back in, the doctor says, well, did you take the medicine? Well, what medicine? Well, that prescription I gave you, did you have it filled? Oh, I lost it. And that becomes kind of frustrating. And I'm sure there are those kind of patients out there. But here, dull of hearing, we become difficult to instruct. Not only that, we become self-deceived. We become deceived as to the amount of the knowledge that we think we have. Someone who's dull of hearing has this kind of an attitude. Well, I've already heard all that. I heard that before. You know? Somebody says, well, church is boring. All I do is I just hear the same thing over and over. I've already heard all that. I already know all that. A person that listens to, you know, maybe some of Tchaikovsky's music. Oh, yeah, I know Tchaikovsky. I've heard all that. You know, there's a difference between recognizing a tune and actually studying the score when it comes to music applications. But we deceive, when we're dull of hearing, we deceive ourselves as to the amount of knowledge that we think we have. And we regress to or remain in the stage of infancy. Not only that, we fail to discern between knowledge of facts and true spiritual maturity. Some people say, oh yeah, I've heard all that. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I know about Peter. I know, yeah, I know Paul. I read Romans. I read the Bible once. I'm good. I've read it. What more is there? I've heard it all. And they have this idea that they, you know, they've got the facts. There's a difference between factual knowledge and actual maturity. But if we become dull of hearing, we'll fail to discern. And we'll replace or we'll think that we're mature just because we know some facts of Scripture. And then, of course, we lose opportunity to serve. We lose the opportunity to disciple others and to bear fruit that remains if we're dull of hearing. And, of course, the warning here throughout the first part of the book, especially in chapter 3, is beware, beware that you do not harden your hearts. A person who has become dull of hearing is in danger of having a hard heart. He thinks he's okay. He's self-deceived. And I tell you, this would be a great description of our nation and the generations that are alive today. You know, what nation has been so blessed by God as this nation? What generation has had more opportunity and more access to the Bible, to the Scriptures, to resources, books, videos, electronic media, all kinds of equipment there at our disposal to help us to understand Scripture? And yet, when we look at the spiritual maturity of this age and this generation, dull of hearing. Oh yeah, I've heard all that. I know all that. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. What's the remedy? How do we fix being dull of hearing? Say, well, I don't want that condition to characterize me. I don't want to be in that condition. How do I get out of it? Well, we cannot fix ourselves. We cannot fix ourselves. We must first recognize the condition and confess it. We have to admit it. And we have to ask God to restore a right spirit in us. Go back to Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Every verse in that psalm deals with what? Every verse in that psalm deals with the Word of God. And here David is talking about his relationship to the Word of God. And most of that psalm, almost all of it, except for just a few verses, is really a prayer. A prayer of David to God, that he might be sensitive and tender toward and obedient to what? To the Word of God. You know, some people say, oh, well, dull of hearing, well, it just comes from, you know, you hear it over and over, and maybe I'm just taking in too much. It's just more than I can process, and so maybe I should just limit, you know, my intake, you know, going to church and hearing a message in the morning, another message, and then on the midweek service, and, you know, maybe if I just didn't hear so much, then I wouldn't be so dull of hearing. That is not what he is saying. That would be a wrong interpretation. And, of course, what does he tell us in Hebrews 10:25? Don't forsake the assembling. As often as you meet, he goes, you more and more. He, in fact, in chapter 3, what does he say? He says, daily exhort one another. Daily you need this. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let's confess our condition. We must ask God to restore a right spirit in us, and we must be obedient hearers. I think this is the key. To become dull of hearing is to hear the same thing over and over and not to pay attention to it. And last week we talked about the, in Bible study hour, we talked about the wise man and the foolish man back in Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus said, he that hears these sayings of mine and does them, or acts upon them and obeys them, I will liken him unto a man who builds his house on a rock. And the storms of life and the wind and the rain come and beat on that house, and it stood because its foundation was on a rock. But he says, he that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is like a man who builds his house But he builds it on the sand without a foundation. And the same storms that hit the house on the rock, the exact same storms come through, the rain and the wind, and when it hits that house, it says, and great was the fall of it. And why? Because it was not on a firm foundation. It was a person who was dull of hearing. He'd heard the sayings of the Lord, but did not do them, did not act on them, did not obey. James chapter 1, the very book right after Hebrews, James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James tells his readers, he says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That right there, a person who hears only and does not obey, that's a person who is dull of hearing. He's self-deceived. He knows the facts. He's heard it all before, but it hasn't done him any good. Hasn't changed his life. He's not obedient. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. That's exactly a visual illustration of a dull hearer. What does the dull hearer do? Well, he hears. He listens. And he hears the word of God. And he goes his way and straightway forgetteth what he heard. He doesn't act on it. There's a man that looks in the mirror and says, oh, I got dirt on my nose. I should clean that off. And then he doesn't do anything about it and walks away from the mirror and he goes around the rest of the day and forgets that he's got a blemish on his face. But he says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, not a dull hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The remedy for being dull of hearing is to continue in the perfect law of liberty, to continue in God's word, and not be a forgetful hearer, but an obedient hearer, a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Jesus in John chapter 13 and verse 17. There he is speaking. John chapter 13 and verse 17. And he says this. He says, if ye know these things, happy are ye if you what? If you do them. If you do them. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And then finally in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter talking about our growth in Christ. He talks about how God has given all that we need. He's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And he says, and besides this, beside what? Beside having become partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust, being saved, he says, and beside this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. There's a person that has regressed back to the point of needing milk. Listen, if you are not growing in your Christian life, if you are not actively growing in Christ-likeness, then you are dull of hearing. And this is something that we need to guard against. Listen, if it could happen here to the Hebrew believers, it's definitely something that can happen to us. And it's something that we need to be on guard about. If ye know these things, or if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the time being, ye should be teachers. The apostle says in Hebrews, you should be teachers by now. And you know what? If God's word is in us and we are abounding in our obedience toward us, then yes, we will be fruitful. And we'll be bringing glory to God. So hear this warning that the apostle gives us here in Hebrews chapter 5. Speaking of Melchizedek, he says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, or the doctrines of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Everyone starts there. It's not a bad thing to start as a babe. We all start there, but we can't stay there. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Listen, what kind of a hearer are you? Are you dull of hearing? And listen, every one of us, myself included, each one of us, we need to ask ourselves and look and be honest and say, are we dull of hearing? Have we become dull of hearing? Is there a time when you were more sensitive? Is there a time when you were more obedient? Are you progressing or are you regressing? For the time you ought to be teachers? How long has it been? How long have you been saved? Are you still just needing milk? Or are you growing in maturity and obedience to the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. And Lord, for the rebuke here, given right in the middle of this discourse on Christ as our high priest. And Lord, it's important that we, even at this point, as we're in our study of Hebrews, that we take the time to examine ourselves, just as did these believers back then. Lord, may we not be dull of hearing. May we confess it. And Lord, may we be obedient hearers of the word. Lord, we are privileged to hear over and over, to have the word of God at our fingertips, to have study aids and other things, Lord, that can be a benefit to us. But Lord, they're only a benefit to the extent that we are obedient to your word. So help us to be obedient hearers. May we not be forgetful hearers. Lord, may we grow in Christ's likeness. May we grow in maturity. And Lord, may we be fruitful in our Christian lives. In so doing, may we bring glory and honor to our Savior Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen.